January 20th, 2026. And we can do roll call. Ms. Arnold.
Hi, Natalia. Hey, Calhoun.
Here.
You're on mute.
I heard her.
Oh, you did?
Now, Kate, yes.
Okay. Carlos Portillo.
Present.
Alba Nunez.
Here.
Jerry Lundy.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay. Item number two, approval of the legal action report and minutes of the October 21st, 2025 meeting, since we did not have a meeting for November or December. Entertain a motion to approve the LAR and minutes.
Our minutes.
Motion to approve by Kate Calhoun. Can I get a second?
I second the motion.
Yes. Roll call, please.
Hi, Natalia. Hi, Calhoun.
Oh, thank you.
Carlos Portillo.
Yes.
Alba Nunez.
Aye. 3-0.
All right. A report from the chair. That would be Jaime, and he's not here yet. He's going to hopefully join us in a little bit. So I don't, on his behalf, have any updates at this time. So I will move on to item number four on the agenda. At this time, the community may address the board with any concerns. The board may not address the specific concern at this meeting. However, the board may, at its discretion, make it a future agenda item, at which time there can be a discussion. Community members are asked to address the board, not a specific member. Each person is limited to 3 minutes. Do we have any members from the community here for call to the audience? Does not appear that we have anybody from the community or the audience. So we'll move on to item number five, which is a review of the TPD investigations.
Motion.
How are we doing?
Let you catch your breath.
Thank you. In accordance with Section 10A-88F of the Mayor and Council mandate, the board may only review those cases specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigation to those specific in the mandate. I unfortunately did not have an opportunity to review the cases. Checking in. Hello?
Hi, we're ready to. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My apologies.
No worries. And just to check in to see if we will have a fruitful discussion between any of the remaining voting members, Kate and Carlos, I will check in with you and Jerry. I think.
I'm not voting yet.
Okay, you're not able to vote. Are you able to discuss?
No.
Okay.
I'd look. I don't think I got it. I might have deleted it or something.
Okay. So, Kate, we lean on you and Carlos. Do we think we'll have a fruitful, or should we table this agenda item?
I thought it was very good. I didn't find a problem with it.
Yeah, for item number?
I didn't find a problem with it. It was the one I believe. I don't have my notes.
Item five.
Item five.
Yes, so case number 250299.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I would say that it was fair and thorough. No questions to discuss.
I second the motion.
Okay. Can I get a roll call?
Hi, Natalia.
Oh.
Hey, Carol.
Aye.
Carlos Portillo.
Aye.
And the Bernice.
Abstain.
That's 0-3-0.
Thank you. Moving on to case number 230433.
Sorry, I need to be reminded what it was.
Yeah,
I don't have the notes.
I don't have.
I believe I reviewed it. It's the one I think is very thorough, but I want to be sure that it's the one that was that I reviewed, because there's one that didn't get to see it, didn't pop up, didn't open up.
The 23?
Yeah, the 4-3-3, did you remember the context of it?
Just a second.
I can brief you on it real quick. Yeah. This was the case where the complainant believed that he was under surveillance from
being, the CIA and all that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, I found it fair and thorough.
I would second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, so we will take roll call.
I'm Amadeo. Kay Cavalier.
Aye.
Carlos Botelho.
Aye.
Annabelle Lemieux.
Abstain.
3-0.
All right, on to item number three on the, actually case number 3, 25-0374, open for discussion.
It wouldn't open up for me, so I have no idea. So I have to abstain from it.
I would say that it's fair and thorough.
I think we, let's table this one just so that we have a larger body of people.
Is that the only one? Yeah. Okay, yeah. We can table that one.
Okay, so we are going to table case number 25-0374 and add it to next month's collection of cases to review for a fair and thorough discussion. Thank you very much. Item number 6, police departments, just a police department in accordance with the provision of the state open meeting laws. These items are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current cases, current events pursuant to provision ARS section 38-431.02. The board may not propose, discuss, deliberate, or take action at this meeting on any matter in the updates unless the specific matter is properly noticed for legal action at a subsequent meeting. Okay, Chief Sanger, welcome. Anything to report?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. I won't take a whole lot of your time today. I wanted to touch on a couple of things. One is we recently had some rotation and promotion of personnel within the department. I'll let Jesse introduce himself if he hasn't already when he speaks up next, but just wanted to let you know we have 4 new lieutenants within our patrol divisions now. So they started officially last week. They're into their second week, and it's a jump right in after the new year as events and activities continue to ramp up from the holiday slowdown. Currently, two of the things I wanted to touch on that we're actively engaged in is the Safe City Task Force initiative, and a sub-component of that is the Transit Safety Action Plan. You may hear that quite a bit right now in Mayor and Council, in any of the publications that come out of the ward offices. We are taking a role to help participate within that group to identify any gaps within the systems that exist and try to strategize on opportunities to fill those gaps and to improve efficiencies within those systems. Something that we always do within our daily work, but this is a good opportunity to have a variety of stakeholders, both within city personnel, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, other governmental departments are represented, and what we're doing is really looking to identify how we can get better results from our efforts. So it's quite a large strategy. Like I mentioned, one of those was the Transit Safety Action Plan to talk about how we can help improve actual and perceived safety around the transit system. And so there's a lot of efforts going on there to help collect data and identify opportunities to make some sustainable positive impacts, both short-term and long-term within that program. So that's really what I wanted to touch on today. I do see that Captain Flores is in the audience. I think he was here to represent how you doing? I think he was here to represent one of the cases, and so I don't want to steal his thunder if he was here otherwise, but I will speak on his behalf and he could speak further if desired, but the public safety substation down on Park and Fair is partially open. It is open for operations for the police department, but there's not currently a public desk because there's still an active construction zone. For the fire station, which is the other half of the public safety substation that is being built down there. And they're in the process of moving from the old substation, which will be knocked down and become the parking lot, the public parking lot. There will also be some opportunities for positive space activation with basketball court and courtyard and that sort of thing. So you may start seeing some references to the new substation. Like I said, it's not open to the public yet, but it is something we're very excited about coming, hopefully, around the summertime. Correct me if I'm wrong, Captain Ford.
Very cool. Yeah, I drove by and saw it. Thank you so much. Any questions for Chief Sainer? Yeah, I saw it. It's huge. It's big compared to the old ODS. So that's exciting for our community out there. Finally, yay. All right. Anything from the Office of Professional Standards?
As Chief Sainer was saying, we recently had some moves. So in the past, it was Lieutenant Elisette Gomez. She was here representing the Office of Professional Standards. I have been moved into that position now and taking her space. My name is Jesse Chamberlain. A little bit about myself is I was born and raised here in Tucson. I've lived on the south side of Tucson, on the west side of Tucson, the east side of Tucson, throughout my time here. I've been with the Tucson Police Department for, it'll be 26 years in April. My time as a patrol officer I spent down in Team 1 on the south side. Also as a patrol officer, I spent some time out on the east side. I was in our gang tactical unit for a long time, and also in our community response team as an officer. As a sergeant, as a supervisor, I worked downtown as a supervisor when we used to have the downtown division. And then I briefly supervised our gang unit that we had at the time. And then after that, I went to our counter-narcotics alliance. So I was supervisor in narcotics squad for about 8.5 years prior to getting promoted to lieutenant. I was promoted to lieutenant in 2024, July, where I was assigned out on the east side. So working patrol, and that was my assignment prior to coming here. So I've been at this meeting once before. I gave a presentation on the street racing and stuff, because that's what I used to do. If I look familiar, that's probably where it was from. But anyways, that's pretty much the updates for today. Next month, I'll be introducing a new team member to our office, and then I'll also kind of go over our end of the year stats with you at the next meeting. Any questions for me right now? Great. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys, you know, every month.
Great. Thank you so much. Cool. Welcome back. Okay. Item number 7, Office of the Independent Police Auditor.
Good evening. I do case reviews as well, and I've had lots of calls from people over the phone. Most of the complaints I've taken, you can discount them right away. They're clearly folks suffering through some mental crisis. I still look at the body-worn camera, and I don't discount anything too quickly. Obviously, people are in mental crisis, can still potentially be abused by the police, so I still look, but everyone has been written off, so to speak. One of the things, you know, right now is a major protest going on. You're all aware of that because you'll likely have to drive through it or by it or affected by it. And they're marching down Broadway, the road is closed, and TPD takes those protests very seriously. They had a large staffing today, and very well prepared for it. There was a, I don't know who was around back then. I know Annabelle was certainly, but there was a protest many years ago involving immigration on Broadway that one fella got out of line and some punches were thrown and people were pepper sprayed. And it wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. A lot of lessons to be learned. But I'll tell you what, even under the current political circumstances of ICE, I'm not hearing complaints, and that's good. And that says a lot for TPD. TPD's made it very clear for a long time ago, this is probably under Magnus, how those are federal actions, they're not local actions. And if you want to be mad, be mad. You want to take a stand, take a stand. But it's not a local police matter. It's going to be a federal matter. So they were able to deflect anything from TPD, and I've heard nothing. And usually I hear people complaining. If they don't make a formal complaint, at least just to call up and vent, zero. I'm hearing absolutely nothing. So that says a lot for TPD, that they've been able to establish those relationships with the community and to communicate effectively, as they have been, especially on this immigration matter. So you know, when it's time to pay some props, it's time to pay some props. And I'd like to do that through that explanation. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Anything from NACO?
Nothing. I'm surprised. I thought NACO was going to be much more involved, much more active, and they are not. So there has been no positions, there's been no letters come out, there's been, you know what NACO is, Jerry? Stands for National Association for the Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement. It's the civilian oversight, National Board for Civilian Oversight. And they're the ones that set standards. I was very involved in the planning and the training division. I have not been for a little while now. Other things are going on in my life, but there's been nothing. NACO was bombarded, certainly, after what happened in Minneapolis several years back, with everybody saying, you know, we need to get a civilian board going. And as is the case usually, when people get emotionally connected, it doesn't last all that long. And those emotions kind of waned, and with those emotions and that intensity, also the money drops off. And once the money drops off, it's no longer even a discussion.
Right.
So I've heard nothing from NACO at all. I haven't received a letter from the president saying this is our position. And not the least.
Yeah.
Not absolutely not the least. So
just curious.
That's NACO.
Hosted it twice in Tucson. So.
Say again?
We've hosted it twice in Tucson.
We've hosted it twice in Tucson. And I've had several things TPD's done. NACO offers regular webinars. I had Casimir on one webinar talking about the Critical Incident Review Board, which was, again, leading edge national, and certainly Annabelle participated in the ones that he talked about, at least. I had the MIST unit give a talk, because that's a pretty forward thing. You've heard from the MIST unit here, so you know something about mental health service team. And very, very well attended, very well received. So if anybody's interested in that board, NACO, or participating, or getting information, please let me know. I'd be more than happy to get you connected with them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Item number 8. So possible ordinance of the Tucson Code changes regarding the future of the Community Police Advisory Review Board and its direction. And so this is a topic open for discussion, and maybe we can get action coming out of it. I think we preliminarily discussed at a previous meeting recently that we were thinking about doing extension of the terms.
I think Jay was going to do some investigation.
I've spoken to her about that.
Okay.
So it's under Article 13 of the Tucson City Code, Section 10A-134. You all received copies of it previously, but that's and where it's listed under sub B, where it says that in no event may any individual serve more than a total of 8 continuous years on the same body, except for the following committee exemptions, and it lists, I believe, 5 of them. The suggestion was to get CPARC to be added to that list of 5. I will tell you that the city manager has absolutely no objection to that. Everybody recognizes the importance of CPARC and wants to do what they can to keep this viable. One of the ward officers said, why don't we just add that too? Zenza was going to craft something, and then she was given direction by the city attorney, who suggested that the amendment.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine. that rewrite should come from a ward office and not from the city attorney or even from this board. I disagree. I just think they have enough to do. I mean, it's got to come from somebody I think that really cares a lot. I wanted it to come from Zenzen. She's been assigned to this board by the city attorney's office. It seems to me that's your legal person. She's here for a reason. That it should be coming from her. Short of that, it seems to me that it should be coming from your chairperson. Times are time is tight. I mean, time is due off in February, March. Exact date, I don't know. But he's indicated he's even if this has changed, he's not interested, or at this time, in going beyond his 8 years. Similarly, in February and March, we're looking at Annabelle maxing out. I don't know about the downtime appointments, and if that time gets credited, like at the end of a soccer game, to her 8 years, or whether or not now she's no longer continuous. If it's not defined as continuous because your term ended before you were reappointed, maybe you don't need to rewrite this. And your 8-year clock begin. Don't get mad at me, but potentially your 8-year clock could begin. Again,
a new 8-year clock?
I would want to see. I want the opinion from the city attorney, and that's your legal advisor. That's the one that's going to interpret these things. Okay. That's the one, quite frankly, that the clerk's office is going to need to talk to get an answer for that as well.
So because time is of the essence, do we send her, is she going to join us, or is she just stuck in traffic, or was she excused today? Do we have any idea?
We were going to get together around the holidays and really kind of strategize. People got busy, things came up, and I was busy, she was busy. She was given direction that it should come from a ward office. So.
By CM, the city manager?
I don't necessarily agree with that. What's that?
The city manager gave her direction to do that?
City manager is supportive. This ward is supportive. And you guys are appointed by wards. I mean, you know, Barajas, Carlos, you can talk to Barajas, and you can talk to Kevin Dahl, and you can talk to Nikki, right? Mm-hmm. Explain it to them and say, hey, would you take this on? Hand them the ordinance. And show them that and say, hey, would you be willing to support and craft an amendment? If the city attorney is not going to take the ball and run with it, and they're going to say that it's better coming from a ward office, you're the ward office representatives. You should be going to the person that appointed you and say, this is what I'm suggesting you do. If you all want to take a position here during the course of a meeting and speak and maybe even vote in support. You can't vote today, can you? Mm-hmm.
It's an action item.
Okay,
you can make
a motion that you support the exemption of CPAR as allowed under 10A-134B. You can do that, but take a position and let your wards know, if you do, of course, let your ward know that it's something that's supported across the board. That you're not being just a radical, and everybody else in CPAR has a different position. So I think it's much better to do it that way. they have a lot on their plate, and if you can get the aide involved, I think it's a good idea.
Well, I think it's a matter of like teeing it up for any one of the board member, council members, to just kind of like present it, right? And take it up. So it really kind of needs to be initiated, I think, from us, right?
Yeah.
So if we did initiate that.
You did. Okay.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We initiated that, and we asked her, and she was going to come back to us with recommendations.
So she was told by city attorney that it would be better to go through a ward office.
Okay. So then, if I'm hearing you correctly, then I would go to my ward office and ask her to draft this. Does it go to mayor and council for a vote?
Eventually, yeah, any ordinance would, but any ward office, let somebody, I mean, if you guys vote on something today, it's going to be in the minutes. So you can hand those minutes over to your ward office and then show them that, you know, the members that were present voted to request that the ordinance be drafted to then exempt CPAR as well as the other five.
And essentially, that's where the attorney would take over.
I'm not sure. I would think so.
I'm just trying to get the logic, the logical.
Well,
path,
and I just
right?
see the time is of the essence. So this isn't something that we can wait. We need to take action now, and I can go to Councilwoman Lee and let her know my thoughts.
So is it my understanding that Zen Zen said that she was going to work on it or bring something back to us?
She was going to bring something back to us, which apparently she's bringing it back to us, and it needs to come from the ward office.
Okay, but I'm just thinking maybe if she has anything written or drafted or noted, you know, maybe we want to see that first.
You have the legal action report, right?
Just
is it mentioned in there?
I don't know. If they go to an attorney, but, you know, nothing I can draft. I want to.
Well.
You know what I mean? I'm just curious.
I can probably draft something up. First of all, I think what we need to do is, you know, continue discussing, but let's put a motion together to say if, as a board, we would like to pursue this, then I will draft a letter and then hand it off to Kate if she's willing to take it to her council member. I mean, I'm just trying to get it reappointed to a long time from my office. So I don't know, you might have a better...
Look at page 3 of 4, under number 8.
Mark.
And it says, she advised, third sentence from the bottom of the second to last paragraph, she advised that any proposed ordinance amendment would require sponsorship from the city council member before being presented for council approval. So, that's where the juice is.
Okay.
It's,
are the minutes?
If it's not done, then, and again, how Annabelle's term is interpreted, she could be gone in February, March, which would take you down to 3. It's quorum, and
we take us down at 2.
Annabelle could hang out in the shadows until she's that there's an ordinance change. And hopefully Jerry's going to get on board with his training. That's part of the next agenda item. And we're going to hopefully find Jerry a home right now. This board suggested they would review Jerry's bio when I submit. We're kind of jumping around a bit, but Nancy has decided she no longer wants to throw her hat in the ring for reappointment. She had hoped to be reappointed. She was going to be reappointed. And at the last minute said, I don't want to be reappointed. So she is no longer of interest as far as reappointed. So this ward is open. Their newsletter came out today, I believe. And they're saying that CPAR is a board they'd like to fill.
So they're active, so
I can. I can kind of just try to touch base with somebody from this office to see how that's moving along.
So we need to get an opinion about Annabelle's term, certainly. If that break in service, I think somebody had told me this, that's for retirement. You have to, take a year off before you can get reappointed or be hired by the city again. I don't know.
It's a U of A thing. I think that's a state thing, yeah.
I don't know.
That's in the bylaws.
What's that?
It's in the bylaws.
What's it say?
So you have, after the 8 years, you have to take a year off, and then you can come back.
If you do the 8 years.
Yeah, she's already at her 8 years in June 23rd.
But she had a break before the 8 years. Doesn't matter.
Not because she got reappointed, so I think that's the way they'll take it.
But the whole point of this discussion is to change that ordinance.
Yeah, it's good.
So we have some time. It's critical, but we're on a short.
So she will expire in June.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not as urgent as what I.
She's March. We talked about
June.
Yeah.
Jaime is in the
March. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in March and she's in June.
Okay.
Got it.
Good.
Okay.
So what's the plan?
So I will draft a letter if Kate is willing to work with her council person.
Absolutely.
To put it forward to the rest of the council to change the ordinance that I guess we
to extend the ordinance.
To extend the terms, limits.
Is Kate, who's vice chair right now?
Because that's me.
Okay, so you write it as vice chair. Okay, the rest of the board is supportive of that?
So, yeah. I will entertain a motion from the board to...
So moved.
If all board members are in agreement of putting together a letter to go to our council offices and get the support to extend term limits for members who have gone through their 8 years, and then I don't know if we can
extend term limits.
Yeah.
You're making a motion to remove term limits.
Oh, yes, thank you. To remove term limits.
I second the motion to remove the term limits and for the commission to approach their council offices with a letter that will be drafted by the vice chair.
Excellent, Kate. Roll call, please.
Hi, Metadeo. Annabelle?
Aye.
Kate?
Aye.
Carlos?
Aye.
3-0.
Excellent.
Passes.
Any more discussion? Wait, I did have a question. Do we have to go through the whole process of changing the bylaws? I would assume we have to.
Right.
You have to make an exception.
I would think so. What,
which bylaws?
The CPAR bylaws.
Oh, yeah. Once you really change though.
Okay. So that's another process. All right, but we're good for now.
That's housekeeping though.
Yeah.
That's not you. You don't need to, bang with most of the ordinance change.
Go team. All right. Note to self. A to do. All right. Okay.
Number nine.
Vacancies. Ongoing. Same thing. We have a vacancy in Ward 1. We will have a vacancy coming up in for representing the mayor's office. Three vacancies.
Ward
five,
two,
six, four.
Ward one.
Two.
Ward two. Mayor.
And six. We may. But we're trying to find a home for Mr. Flannery once he gets situated.
You're unhoused right now.
That's correct.
And he is a resident of Ward 3.
City protocol for housing or what?
So potentially we could, unless it sounds like maybe Ward 6 might have real interest in selecting from their district, from their ward. But I can probably.
Again, if you talk to your
Is this Ward 6?
This is Ward 6.
So, for some reason, at the when the last elections were happening, Miranda was canvassing in my neighborhood, and I told her that I needed to get put on CPAR. And she said, oh, remind me when I get elected.
So would you want to reach out
to her?
Yeah,
I can reach out to her.
To whom?
Miranda Schubert.
CM.
Check with Becca. That's kind of who's her aide that's involved in pushing for CPAR and filling committees. Let me give you her last name. Last name is Feilk, F-E-A-L-K.
F-E-A-L-K.
Edward. See, I know this. I know Bima, so I'm going to do Foxtrot, but you don't do
that. I know them both.
F-E-A-L-K. Foxtrot, Echo, Lima.
Alpha.
Alpha. Alpha. Lima, Kilo. Not bad. I was brought to this too.
F-E-A-L-K. That's Becca.
Becca.
Okay.
So part of discussing the reason and the need for the ordinance, I think you need to remember to mention how there's now an 80-hour requirement prior to being able to be a full member, a voting member, and that it's been suggested that that, in fact, was done in an effort by Phoenix to potentially minimize or remove civilian oversight and to get around that. It's an effort has to be made. So I think that's the reason you're going to want to talk about getting rid of the 8 hours and to push for and let them know that some other wards have not filled theirs. And there are ordinances that say, help me out, clerks, I think it's 60 days. That a ward has not filled a position, mayor and council can, on their own initiative, fill that ward's position. I believe it's 60
days. I believe so.
So that may exist. If it exists, you know, you've got some brand new council members who may not know that. And quite frankly, this probably doesn't come up anyway, even with the golden oldies, so to speak. So if you know people that are interested, you're gonna lose Jaime. Jaime is definitely going to lose.
Okay. I know somebody.
Do you remember the things that the exclusions, the prohibitions? You have to be a city resident. It's not ward specific. That's one of the first things you're going to be asked. Does it have to be somebody from my ward? No, it does not. They have to live in the city. They cannot be a city employee, full or part time. They cannot have a felony conviction. Although not one ward office has run a background check in 25 years. Don't ask me how that works. And they cannot be a current peace officer. That's what ordinance says. Otherwise, wide open.
It's not very, I mean, that's not, there's potential for finding people, for sure. We were meeting with people and then went through the whole rigmarole and they're like, I live right outside of the city. Right. Okay. I think we have a game plan. Any other discussion on item number 8?
That was 9.
9. Thank you. Future agenda items. Do we have any?
Yes. I have a question to the city clerk's office because I just had to complete it for the Tucson Convention Center Commission. Was there a request for the rules and regulations annual report in attendance to CPAR?
Yes.
If so, who did that go to?
That goes to boards and commissions, but you can send it to me and I'll send it over to the boards.
Was
and
there
commission.
Something that was sent out to mm-hmm. us?
Yes. Sure. Well, it was sent out to Hyman.
Okay.
To
complete?
To process, to
okay.
Complete.
Okay.
But it hasn't been done yet. It hasn't been finished.
Okay, so with... Who would be your next point of contact?
Yeah. Say that again, I'm sorry, Kate.
Who would be your next point of contact?
for the board to be completed? Vice chair.
Okay.
Do you have a template?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I just had to do one.
You can have some numbers run. I believe the clerks maintain a list of how many cases have been reviewed in the preceding year. I certainly can cull that from the agendas. You should probably report your training hours.
Okay.
Lay it on.
Bring it. And that's due in March.
And we have elections next month.
There's an agenda. Any training? Anybody have any interest in anything?
Training?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, I can't.
My head is like, oof, with a lot.
Yeah, I think let's just...
Get our head back above water.
Yeah, maybe an agenda item would be to have just a check-in on the progress of the board's ordinance and Tucson code changes. So if that we could just add that to the agenda for next month as a follow-up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that way we can vote on it.
In case, yeah, and make it just a discussion slash action.
I want to suggest that Assistant Chief Reports gives you a summary about what happened today and how it went, because it's still going on. Hopefully it's going to be smooth. It'll be a very quick report, but you may want to ask, since you're tasked with community police relationships.
It's affecting the attendance of the hockey game.
Probably the basketball. Oh, I can imagine. There's a game tonight, too.
Hockey game.
A women's basketball game at UVA. It's at least 8,000 people.
Are they going to the UVA?
The protesters? A small group that's there, that's it. It's winded down quite a bit from the 300. But the incident commander's got to open up East and Westbound Congress. He's got to, I can't make him do it. He's got to decide to do it.
That's your neighborhood. Uh-huh. All right, so another agenda item then is, or at least if we can ask if she's, I don't know, Chief Shainer can hear me.
Shainer.
Hi, just a report out of today's events at next month's meeting, if possible, just if that's awesome. Thank you so much. Okay. Item number 11, adjournment.
Jack.
Some moved. I have not had lunch today, so I'm a little bit starving and a headache. Oh, I had a piece of chocolate.
I'm like stressed from driving.
I can imagine.
I'm texting Mitch. I'm like, how the hell did you get out of downtown?
I didn't. Well, he had the lowdown because he's like,
I know.
He's out there. He goes case and route.